And now we would like to, I'd like to think with you for the next few minutes about making choices in life. This is Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday, and Martin Luther King had to make some very difficult choices in his lifetime. This Sunday, I'd like to think with you about making choices in life. One of my favorite talks as a chaplain in the Air Force was making choices in life. I was stationed at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, where all the recruits in the Air Force went to basic trainings. I used to have about 8 or 10 of the men waiting for me outside my office every day when I came to work. They had problems adjusting to Air Force life after being in civilian life. And every month, I found out that they didn't know too much about what was going on in their life, and they didn't have any plans or anything. And so every month, every man and woman in the Air Force had to listen to a chaplain give a character guidance lecture on different aspects of character that came from the chief of chaplain's office in Washington, D.C. I decided to create a talk about the three greatest choices that they would have to make in their lifetime to help these young men. Every time I had to give a lecture, character guidance lecture there in Lackland, I would ask these now young rookies if any of them have ever seen me before. If they said no, then I'd give them my three great choices in life talk. The three great choices, of course, are, first of all, the choice of a job or an occupation that they wanted to do the rest of their life and that they'd enjoy doing, and then how to get the education or whatever it took to get to that position that they wanted. And if they didn't make that choice, then they had responsibilities and support put on them and a wife and a family, and then life would make that choice for them, and they might wind up in a job that they didn't like because they had to take whatever they could get. The second choice was the choice of a mate. A mate that wanted to be a part of their chosen occupation. Like if their position or their occupation demanded that they travel, and a wife that didn't want to travel, they certainly couldn't have a good marriage if their mate didn't want to travel too. The third choice is values to live by. If they had the same values, they'd have a happy life, and the place to find help and guidance, of course, was to spend 1 hour a week in worship service in a church or synagogue to find this help every week that can give us a kind of a boost and in life. Well, 5 years later, I was in civilian clothes in the cafeteria line in Japan, and I ordered something for myself and my wife and daughter. A young sergeant was standing next to me, and he said, "You're a chaplain, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, you were stationed at Lackland Air Force Base about 5 years ago. I said, "Yes, I sure was." He said, "You gave us a talk on the three greatest choices of life." And I says, "Yeah, I sure did." And he says, "Well, I followed your advice, and I'm married and have a great life, and I want to just thank you." That was a real surprise to me, to think that somebody could remember from a little talk that I made and change their life. As a side note, when Betty and I were dating and we got serious about marriage, I told her my plan, that I wanted to be a chaplain, and I wanted to travel and live different places all over the world. And since we met in a church youth group, we both had the same values in life. Well, she said that she wanted to be a chaplain's wife and live all over the world. And on the 28th of this month, in January, we will celebrate our 56th wedding anniversary. And we're still happy and we're still excited about our life. And so it works for us. When I was a senior in high school now, I dated a very nice girl. We got serious about marriage. I asked her what she wanted in marriage. And she said, well, I want a little white house and a picket fence around it and three children and a husband that goes to work and comes back every night. I said, well, that's not what I want. I said, I want to travel all over the world. I don't care where I live. And I didn't know how many children I wanted. And we realized we were not compatible. And so we parted as very good friends. 25 years later, Betty and I and Denise visited her at her home. I rang the doorbell, and she and her husband and three sons came to the door. And I just smiled, and I said, wow, Jigs, that was her nickname. I said, I see you got what you wanted in high school. A white house, a picket fence around the house, three sons, a husband that goes back and forth to work every day. And her husband turned to me and said, so that's what that little picket fence is all about. By that time, Betty and I had lived in Virginia and Germany and Holland and New Mexico and Texas and Okinawa and back to Michigan. Making choices in life is the most important thing that we do. And in our scripture for today, in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the 15th through the 30th verses, Moses was delivering to the children of Israel the covenant that he had received from God. He had no choice but to deliver this difficult message. The stakes were high. The very survival of his people was at stake. And in the midst of Moses' address, we find these critical words. I call heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make that I have set before you of life or death. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And that's Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter in the 19th verse. Moses was saying at the time of decision, their time was at hand. The people of Israel could no longer walk on both sides of the fence. They must make a choice. You and I are continually making choices in life. Some of them are very minor choices. Think of all the different choices you made getting ready for church this morning. You had to get up, you had to find out. You decide what you were going to wear, what time you were going to leave for church, which way you were going to go. Some choices are really not choices at all. Now, in rural Arizona, a man went to see the Hopi Indians perform ceremonial dances. It was a long, lonely drive to the reservation across secluded desert terrain and some very tough roads. Late that afternoon, after the dances were all over, the man returned to his car only to discover that he had a flat tire. To make matters worse, he didn't even have a spare tire in the truck. But he remembered seeing a lone service station about 5 miles down the road. So he got somebody to give him a ride down to the service station. He found the elderly proprietor sitting in a chair drinking a soda. The stranded man says, excuse me, sir, but do you fix flats? And the proprietor replied, well, yes, I do. And then the man says, how much do you charge? And then the proprietor replied, what difference does that make? You see, the man was in no position to make any kind of bargain. He was stuck. Some choices are an illusion. You really have no choice, or the choice has little impact. Then, of course, there are those life-changing choices like going to college or choosing a profession or choosing a mate or choosing a way that you wanted to live. Some years ago, the newspapers carried the obituary of a group captain, Peter Townsend, a dashing World War II fighter pilot. Some of us older types can remember this story, of course, and recognize that name. It was he who loved and lost Princess Margaret over there in Great Britain, and then went into a 30-year self-imposed exile from Great Britain. He was 80 when he died. Captain Townsend left Britain after Margaret bowed to the disapproving establishment and told the nation in October 1955 that she had decided not to marry Townsend because he was divorced. The romance between Captain Townsend and the young princess, 16 years his junior, became public in 1953. It was a year after his divorce and the year when Elizabeth, her sister, was crowned queen and the temporal leader of the Church of England, which frowned on divorce at that particular time. Amid a fervor which reverberated through Britain and its Commonwealth, the former colonies, the much-decorated war ace was banished from this palace on the advice of Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill to a diplomatic post in Brussels, Belgium. But the romance survived until 1953 when Margaret, at the age of 25 and third in line to the throne, made her final decision. Captain Townsend wrote, "She could have married me only if she had prepared to give up everything, her position, her prestige, and her money. I simply hadn't the weight to counterbalance all of the things that she would have lost." Choices, choices, choices. So many choices in life. We may never have to choose between true love and a throne, but we still have choices in life. Of course, the sad thing is that for better or worse, we have to live with the choices we make. And that was why Moses was so critical. Much was at stake. Israel would have to live with the consequences of their decision. Make the right choice and they would prosper. Make the wrong choice and they would perish. One of the marks of maturity is the discovery that the choices we make have consequences. If we choose right, we reap rewards. If we choose wrong, we sometimes pay a steep price. Last week on the radio talk show, a man called Dr. Laura about a problem that he had. He said that he had been going with a young lady for 3 years and that she has been pregnant now for 2 months. And what should he do? She was an abusive person. And Dr. Laura said, "You have made a choice. From now on, you are attached to this woman through the child for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. If we choose wrongly, we pay the price." I had a good laugh about a story in a newspaper some time back about a teacher who found a novel way to make students pay for their transgressions in the classroom. The troublemakers at Riverside Brookfield High in suburban Chicago are being forced to serve after-school sentences in the Frank Sinatra Detention Club. They're there for 30 minutes. They must sit utterly still. No talking, no homework, no snoozing, and listen to old Blue Eyes croon songs from a bygone era. The teacher, Bruce Geno, says the kids hate it. They are miserable. One senior said, it just got to where I couldn't stand it. It was so boring. Janu isn't totally heartless, though. He said any student that wanted to could sing along with old Bing Crosby, but none of them wanted to do it. It is important for young people to learn at an early age that choices have consequences. In terms of their later success, it is one of the most important lessons that they will learn. Adults who are continually bailing their children out when they make mistakes are cheating their children of one of life's most important lessons. We reap what we sow. Someone has put it this way. There are two major pains in life, the pain of discipline and the pain of regret. Think about that for a moment. The pain of discipline and the pain of regret. Sometime back, I read an interview with an actress, Martha Scott. When asked about the great amount of energy acting requires, she said, well, it's exhausting. It takes enormous energy and stamina, much more than meets the eye. Scott once asked actress Lucille Ball how she could work 13 hours a day as a performer in a television and also function as a producer behind the scenes. Well, Lucy said, get plenty of rest, save your energy, whenever you can sit, and don't spread yourself too thin with social activity. Scott said it was a professional real-life extension of something she had first learned in college as a student in an acting in school plays. Her theater arts director wouldn't even let her go to a football game. Their school was very big on football, but when she mentioned going to the game, the director really chewed her out. He said, if you are serious about acting, you'd better... No, it's like taking a vow. You give up your other pleasures. You can't use your vocal cords at a football game on Saturday afternoon and expect to have a speaking voice Saturday night on the stage. In effect, life is a matter of choices on the road to a goal in life. Choices, we have to make choices. The law to sow and reap of sowing and reaping has not been repealed. You sow a good life, a life of integrity and kindness and paying attention to your relationships with God and with your neighbors, of taking care of your body, mind, and soul, and you will reap a good life of lasting friendships, better than average health, and a feeling of great satisfaction within. Try to take shortcuts to be a cheater, a loafer, and someone who is irresponsible, and eventually life will find you out. As the saying goes, time heals all wounds, and wounds are healed. The choice is ours. I hope I don't sound too preachy. Forget that I'm a pastor this morning. Any sound psychologist or business leader or doctor would say the same thing to you. You don't have to live very long to discover this is the way life works. The sooner you learn to make good choices, the sooner you will find lasting happiness. God's will is that we make choices that will lead to life. And God says to Israel, I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That was a lesson Mel Thomas had to learn the hard way. For much of his life, Mel was a hopeless alcoholic. He came home after one 10-day drinking spree to find his baby dead in his wife's arms. He cried out, I killed my son. I'll never touch another drop. But 2 hours after his baby's funeral, Mal staggered home drunk again. He had taken the little white shoes off the baby in the coffin and pawned them for money to buy drink. In utter despair, he headed along the Chicago street for the Lake Michigan to commit suicide. But on the way, the strong arm of Harry Monroe, superintendent of the Pacific Garden Mission, pulled him inside a hall where the gospel was being preached. And that night, suicidal Mel Thomas heard that there was hope in Christ, and he became a Christian. And for the next 40 years, he served as superintendent of a rescue mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan. From his base in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he started 60 other gospel missions in the United States cities, all designed to reach down to the down and outers for Christ. He counseled thousands of would-be suicides and putting them on the road to happiness in heaven. Mel Thomas chose to turn from death to life. Our situation is not apt to be as desperate as Mal Thomas's. But still, there are choices you and I make every day that determine the quality of our lives and the quality of our relationships. God's will for each of us is to choose life. It's like an incident that Benjamin Franklin related in his autobiography. An English clergyman was once ordered to read a special proclamation issued by the King Charles I. After a period in which the country had observed strict blue laws, that is, you don't do anything on Sunday to offend God, the king issued a decree urging people to return to participate in sports on Sunday. Most church leaders refused to read the edict. But to one congregation's amazement, their minister read the king's decree. But he followed the pronouncement with these words, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And he added, "Brethren, I have laid before you the commandment of your king and the commandment of your God. I leave it to you to judge which of the two ought to be observed. As your pastor, I would not presume to make your choices for you, but as not only your pastor, but also your friend, I would remind you that there are destructive choices and there are constructive choices. There are choices that will make you and those you love stronger, and there are choices that will wreck your life and theirs. Our future hinges on the choices we make. Let us therefore choose life." During a time of silent prayer, let's ask God to help us with the living of our lives. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive my sins, and help me to make right choices for my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we need your help in the living of our lives. Forgive all of our sins of the past and help us to make right choices for our lives that we might have a really wonderful life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.